All right. I'm going to have you turn as a jumping off point here, 1 Chronicles chapter number 16, to talk about what we're going to be talking about tonight. We have been looking at some disciplines that ought to be in each of our lives in order that we might live godly lives that are pleasing to the Lord. And I hope that's what you want. I hope you want to live a life that is pleasing to God. Now understand that to the extent that these disciplines that we're dealing with in our lives are there, godliness will be in our lives. And to the extent that these disciplines are missing from our lives, then there's going to also be something missing from our spiritual lives that quite frankly ought to be there. And way too many of us, and I include myself, at times we're missing some of these things and we hurt for it. We're just not where we ought to be. We talked about that we've looked at three disciplines thus far in the first two messages. And, of course, the very first discipline that you got to have if you're going to please God is you got to have the gospel. In order to please the Lord, we need the discipline of the gospel. It's the very foundation of living a godly life. And if you don't have the gospel in your life, if you're not saved, if that one's missing, you're going to fail to achieve any kind of godly walk whatsoever. The gospel is the very source of godliness in our lives, and one cannot live a godly life without the indwelling Holy Spirit. Amen. You got to have the indwelling Holy Spirit to help you live that life. Otherwise, it's impossible. Second thing, we said we need the discipline of submission. That is willingly bringing our lives into submission to God's will in everything. In other words, seeing our Savior not only as our Savior, but also as our Lord. That means He's got the right to call the shots. And submitting ourselves to Him calling the shots in our life. And as we read the Word of God, or as we sit up under the preaching or teaching of the Word, and the Holy Spirit pricks our hearts and touches some area of our life and says, that right there, you need to pay attention to that. Then we're willing to say, okay, Lord, forgive me. I failed in that. Please help me in this area. And you begin to mold your life into a life that's more pleasing to the Lord. So finding and doing the will of God is key to having joy and living the abundant life in Christ. It's a matter of really the prayer that Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. It's that prayer that we need. Lord, not my will, but thine be done. I know it's difficult, but it is a blessing to us. It'll be a blessing if we live our lives that way. Then last time we saw that we need the discipline of prayer. We said that prayer is our line of communication with God. For by prayer we confess our sins to God. We offer our thanksgiving to God. We verbalize our submission to God. And we offer our petitions to God as well as we intercede on the behalf of others. Amen. All of that is included in prayer. It's not only just about us praying for us, but also us praying for others. And I hope that you do pray for the needs that you have, but also hope that you take time to pray for the needs of others. One cannot live a godly life apart from having an active prayer life. Now, tonight we want to look at another discipline that is desperately needed in our lives as believers. And that's the discipline of worship. Discipline of worship. And we pick up in verse number 23, 1 Chronicles 16, verse number 23. And the psalmist David writes here, he says, "Sing unto the Lord," in verse 23, "Sing unto the Lord all the earth, show forth from day to day His salvation. Declare His glory among the heathen, His marvelous works among all nations, for great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He also is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the people are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Glory and honor are in His presence. Strength and gladness are in His place. Give unto the Lord, ye kindreds of the people, give unto the Lord glory and strength." And here's the verse I want. "Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Bring an offering and come before Him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. fear before him, all the earth, the world also shall be stable, that it be not moved. And we'll leave off reading there. We're going to be shared quite a bit of scripture with you. You'll probably want to write it down. The references, I'm not going to take time to turn to all these places tonight, otherwise I'm not going to get done with this message. All right, and I do want to get you out of here at a reasonable time. But we need the discipline of worship. Understand that our worship should encompass all of our life, not just when we come and assemble together as believers that are part of the Lord's body here in the church. I say that because in the Bible, worship is used to describe both specific activities and a way of life. It's more than just coming together and worshiping the Lord. First point here, there are specific activities mentioned in Scripture that are all, and I'm going to use the word intertwined, because that's what they are. They're intertwined in our worship of the Lord. And you see a lot of those things that are mentioned right here in this passage. It talked about praising the Lord. Well, how do we praise the Lord? Well, we praise the Lord with our lips, right? But we're also to praise the Lord with our life. Yeah? When we live a godly life, when we put these godly disciplines into place in our life, and we begin to live those things out, what happens is our life becomes a better reflection of the Lord. We reflect Him in our lives, and others can see Jesus in us. Amen. And that's what it's all about. So praising the Lord with our lips and with our life, thanking the Lord. And I mentioned Thanksgiving with, and again. We thank with our lips. We ought to pray and say, thank you, Lord, for what you've done for me. But we also thank with our life. If you say you're thankful to the Lord for what He's doing for you and you're not living a life that's pleasing to Him, that's not very thankful, is it? It just isn't. Think about thinking on the Lord. Thinking on the Lord works its way from our hearts and minds into the outward worship in our outward life. Again, lips and life. You're going to hear a lot of lips and life tonight. Amen. Why? Because both are important. There are folks who, with their lips, say one thing. With their life, they live a different thing. And we're going to address a scripture here later that talks about that. But let's... thinking on the Lord. What about adoration of the Lord? Well, adoration is just another word for worship. When you're showing your adoration toward the Lord, it's just worship is what it is. Singing unto the Lord with our hearts and with our lips. You know, it's possible to sing with your lips and your heart not be in it. Isn't it? Sure is. And there's a lot of singing that goes on in churches that with the lips, but not with the heart, not with the life. Playing instruments unto the Lord, you know, that's one way to worship the Lord. Playing instruments unto Him, singing of the Lord unto others. Colossians 3:16 says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs." Guess what? You got to sing if you're going to do that. Yeah, what it says. Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And you know, but we're singing one to another and singing to the Lord too. What about serving the Lord? I'm talking about our life. You know, singing unto the Lord is with our lips. Serving the Lord is with our life. Colossians 3:17. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Colossians 3:23, whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. You know, our service for the Lord would be much better, and we would maintain a better attitude about it if we did those things as unto the Lord and not just did them. You know, we can get a bad attitude when we're not received very well sometimes. And He said, whatever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord. You're doing this to the Lord, not doing it to men. Okay? And so tonight, Let's keep that in mind, serving the Lord with our life. 1 Corinthians 10:31, we're familiar with it. Whether therefore you eat or drink, whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. All of it's to be done to the glory of God. Expressing our reverence for the Lord. How do we do that? With our lips? Yep. How about our life? If your life don't show reverence, you know, what does it matter if your lips are saying that you reverence the Lord? Testifying of the Lord to others. We testify to the Lord also with our lips and life. To both. Tell folks about Jesus. Hey, but they got to see Jesus in us, don't they? You know, as we live our lives. You know, if we're saying, boy, you need to come to the Lord, and you're lost in your sin, you need to come, and then we're living a life of sin, what good is that? Doesn't do any good, does it? Giving to the Lord, and I didn't mention we keep the box back there in the back. I just about got where I forget about the box sometimes, but it's still back there. We're not taking up with the offering plates right now. We got that box back there for you to put your giving, but that's just one area of giving. What you earn monetarily. What do you give otherwise? You know, there are different ways of giving. Did you know that when you offer praise, that's giving. When you give praise, Psalm 50:23, the Lord says, "Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me." Hebrews 13:15 talks about by Him, speaking of Jesus, by Him, therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. Sacrifice of praise. That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to His name. Psalm 22:22, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. We need to praise the Lord more. When the Lord has done something for you, you need to be quick to praise God that, the Lord is sure is good, but has been good to me. You know, when I think of these 65 years that I've been living, it's hard to believe that I got here. I was talking to somebody and said, I don't even know how I got to 65 other than just one day at a time. That was a lot of days, though. And here I am, there now. I have arrived at 65. that rhymes, doesn't it? But it's better than not arriving, right? unless you die in the Lord and go home to be with Him. 1 Chronicles 16:23 says, "Sing unto the Lord all the earth, show forth from day to day His salvation." Are you showing forth His salvation in your life? Are you showing that you're saved? Can others see that you're saved, that there's something different about you? And just amaze me sometimes. People come up to me and say, you're a preacher, aren't you? And I'm not dressed like a preacher. It's just the way I carry myself about, I guess. They just figure it out. I know a lot of times people I talk to, and I'm not talking to them the way that some people talk to them. And this is a vile world we live in right now. And a lot of profanity. I talked to a fella this past week. There was a customer service, and one of the employees was not doing what they should do. And I just went up to him. I said, "Look, let me tell you what happened." And I was genteel about it. And I said, "But this is not the first time it's happened." And I didn't have to use profanity to communicate. And I could tell by the look on his face that he was kind of shocked that he was getting a report such as that without hearing a bunch of cuss words. But that's not the manner that the Lord has called me to. And that's not the way that we ought to be as believers. Psalm 96:1-2 says, "Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless His name. show forth his salvation from day to day. Listen, do you sing unto the Lord? You know, sing praises unto him, you know, thanking him for being the great God that he is. That's part of it, isn't it? That's giving unto the Lord the glory due to his name. Psalm 13 verse 6 says, I will sing unto the Lord because he hath dealt bountifully with me. And this is where our mind comes into play, to think upon what the Lord has done for us. And you know, the more you're in the Word, you come to understand more that the Lord has done for you. And as you live life and the Lord does more for you and you're cognizant of that, it pours forth out of your life and out of your heart to be thankful unto the Lord, and because he's been bountiful, and you sing unto him because he's dealt bountifully with you. Psalm 147 verse 7, sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving. Yeah. Sing praise upon the harp unto our God. Psalm 149 verse 1, praise ye the Lord. Sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise in the congregation of saints. Psalm 144 verse 9. I will sing a new song unto thee, O God, upon a psaltery and instrument of 10 strings. I will sing praises unto thee. And then Psalm 30 verse 4. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. Well, you know, that those are some things that ought to be done, right? But listen, we must make sure that we're just not going through the motions, like I said a while ago. Over in the book of Isaiah, in Isaiah 29, verse 13, there were folks that were going through the motions. It says there, wherefore the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth, okay, the lips were okay, they drew near to the Lord with their mouth, he said, with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men. Precept of men rather than the Word of God. Okay? So, Lord was looking for lips and life. Lips and life. And we need to examine ourselves, make sure the lips and life are in tune with where the Lord wants them. So, there are these specific activities mentioned in Scripture that are all intertwined in our worship of the Lord. Second thing I want to see is that in a broader sense, worship refers to an overall lifestyle of obeying God, serving God, and glorifying God by reflecting His glory to others. And I'm going to say that again, okay? In a broader sense, worship refers to an overall lifestyle of obeying God, serving God, and glorifying God by reflecting His glory to others. And where we're going to turn at here is Matthew chapter number 5. And some of you know where I'm going. Matthew chapter number 5, the Lord Jesus Christ gave us in His Sermon on the Mount, He gave us some guidance on this. Matthew 5, and He compares us here to salt and light. And Matthew 5, verse 13, He says, ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? You ever got hold of any bad salt that didn't have the salty taste to it? What good is it? You might as well be putting dust on your food, right? I like salt. Sometimes I like it too well. It plays my blood pressure, according to the doctors. But I'm going to eat salted food. And, you know, it takes me home to see the Lord earlier, and so be it. But I'm not going to eat saltless food. I want taste to my food. Amen. All right, I'll get off my soapbox. Back on the sermons here. But he says there, if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? Verse 13, it is thenceforth good for nothing. Amen. But to be cast out and be trodden under foot of men, it's no better than dirt. Okay, no better than dirt. And he said, not only you're the salt of the earth, he said, verse 14, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So, two things here. Our life ought to be giving a salty flavor of the Lord. Amen. People ought to tell that the flavor of the Lord is coming through our lives. That's what it's speaking about. And then we ought to have our lights shining to such an extent that people see our lives and say, boy, he's got God on his life. Or she's got God on her life. When we don't bring glory to the Lord with our lives, sometimes the Lord brings glory to himself using our lives. Now, I'm going to give you an example, and none of us want to go there, and that's Jonah. In Jonah chapter number 1, verse 9 and 10, you remember when the mariners thought Jonah was, when he was there on the ship with them, and he's down there in the bottom of the ship sleeping through the storm? And they're praying out and calling out their God and trying to get that storm to stop. And they went down there and woke him up, telling him to call on his God. And then they cast lots to see who was the source of trouble. And that lot fell on Jonah. And so they began questioning him, trying to figure out the reason for the storm. And the scripture says there in Jonah 1, verse 9 to 10, it says, "And he said unto them, I am a Hebrew, listen, and I fear the Lord." You catch that? He said, "I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land." Then were the men exceeding afraid and said unto him, "Why hast thou done this?" For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them, "I fear the Lord." And you're fleeing from the presence of the Lord? What's wrong with you? They knew something was wrong with that, right? They were lost as a goose. But they knew that wasn't right. And Jonah's words said that he feared the Lord, which speaks of it ought to speak of a lifestyle wholly dedicated to glorifying God. But his actions were not glorifying God very much, were they? Because God said, go to Nineveh, and he's going to Tarshish. He's trying to get as far away from there as he possibly could. So what was wrong? He let his discipline of worship slip. We know the result, don't we? Did God get glory out of Jonah's life? It was rough on Jonah, but he did, didn't he? From the moment that storm came, while Jonah was on that ship to Tarshish, the Lord showed himself mighty through the chastening of Jonah. Man, he said, "Throw me overboard, and the storm's going to cease." Man, they didn't want to do that. You know, they didn't want his blood on their hands. He said, "Throw me over." They did, finally. What happened? Storm ceased. Well, the whale got a hold of him. He was in there for 3 days and 3 nights, the belly of a whale. Can you imagine the stench? Can you imagine what he was kind of moving around with in there? I saw just this past week where they opened up, an alligator, and they talked about all the things. It was a large alligator. We're talking about a humongous alligator. Opened it up and the things that were inside of it that it ate. Well, I imagine you find the same thing with a whale or a shark or whatever you're going to do of those. But here he is in there. You think he was happy to be there? No. But we know that from what the Word of God tells us, that he was crying out to the Lord, and the Lord heard him, and the Lord delivered him. Now, one thing that people sometimes don't pick up on, in the stomach, you got the acids and all, get the gastric juices that got to digest the food. What you think that did to his skin? Yeah. When he come out of there, he was I believe he was bleached. I believe he was smelly. I believe he looked probably about as bad as a man can look. But he went to Nineveh and he started preaching. Basically, he's preaching, y'all need to get right with God or God to get a hold of you. And probably some of them figured out that God had got a hold of him. You think? Well, they repented. And they came back to know the Lord, didn't they? Yeah, they did. They came to the Lord and they turned. And the Lord turned from his anger against them and didn't bring the judgment. And that, what did that do to Jonah? Did that make him happy? No. He wanted to see him. He wanted to see the Lord destroy him. In fact, he set off in the distance hoping that, you know, that the Lord would just go ahead and take care of it. Did any of that manifest the Lord's glory? Well, it did from God's viewpoint. You know, he got the glory out of Jonah's life, even when Jonah wasn't willing to give God the glory by obedience. That's what we see. Next place we want to be, and really last place we want to be here, I think, is Romans chapter number 12. Romans chapter number 12. And here's the third and final point here. The Apostle Paul called for believers to have a life that proves the will of God in one's life. I'm going to say that again. The Apostle Paul calls here in Romans 12, 1 and 2. You're very familiar with the verses here. He called for believers to have a life that proves the will of God in one's life. Look at verse 1 and 2 here. He says, Romans 12, 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren. Notice, he's begging them by the mercies of God. What are the mercies of God? How has God been merciful to you? Could we tell? We'd be here all night long talking about how God's been merciful to us. See, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. There you go. There's that giving. Amen. What does God want us to give? Our all. But he wants us alive. He don't want us to commit suicide. He don't want a dead sacrifice. He wants a living sacrifice. As you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy. Our sacrifice ought to be holy. Amen. Acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove, there it is, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Though Paul does not use the word worship here, we can see these verses are full of worship. Paul appeals to the mercies of God, and that means we have to actually have to think on the many ways God is merciful to us. That's part of worship. It brings forth worship. When we think on those things, it will bring forth. It can't help but bring forth worship. Based on our adoration of Him for His mercies, we are to give ourselves and all that we are unto Him. Listen, when we think on His mercies, is He worthy of our presenting our bodies to Him as a living sacrifice unto Him? He sure is. Believers give honor and glory unto His name when they participate in specific acts of worship, celebrating God's worthiness and greatness. We've talked about how worship can be and should be expressed in different ways by both our lips and life, right? All of those ways require a giving, a presenting, if you will, that He's talking about here, of ourselves in our entirety to live for Him, giving ourselves. This is my present, Lord. I'm giving myself to You. I am Yours. I'm going to live for You. That's quite a present, isn't it? You're presenting yourself. True worship takes place on the inside, within the believer's heart or spirit, which is the dwelling place of God. God now lives within us. Amen. We've got the Holy Spirit of God living here. But it should move to the believer. Should move out to the believer's life. It should move us to live our lives for God. In Romans 12, 1, Paul said there that we are to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. Now, we know that Christ is the ultimate revelation of God. Amen? He's the ultimate revelation of God. He's God in the flesh. So that means that He must be the central focus of our worship as understood through Scripture. Now, True worship has two aspects, and both of them are important. A lot of times people will do one and they'll forget about the other. And we see in these last days, sadly, we're seeing a lot of folks just give up on the church. They're getting away from church. Is that what we're supposed to do? No. No, I mean, there's the aspect of personal worship. And yeah, you don't have to be at church to worship. In fact, you ought to worship by yourself at home or wherever you might be. There's some things that just call forth worship out of your life. And we call it personal devotions, where God just move on your heart. Man, God does something for you. And you just worship Him right there where you're at. You know, that number one place in the parking lot at Walmart opens up. Ooh, I got the front row. Praise Jesus. Amen. That's what I do. Thank you, Lord. You say, well, that seems kind of insignificant. It's not insignificant to God. Not when you're praising Him, it's not insignificant. There's that aspect of personal worship, but listen, the aspect of corporal worship is real too. This is worship along with others in the local church according to the will of God. And Scripture shows that both are important in our lives. We need to understand that true worship is a matter of consecration. Now, consecration means to dedicate, right? It's the idea of, I'm going to set myself apart unto God for His purpose. That's what consecration is. That's what sanctification is. Being sanctified. It means to devote ourselves unto God. I set myself apart unto God for His purposes. I devote myself to God, ever how you want to word it. Every believer must understand that our worship of God is a necessary discipline in our lives in order to live our lives pleasing to the Lord. So, tonight in closing, what you call your worship, how does it line up with what we have seen from Scripture tonight? Are you truly worshiping, or are you falling short of what the Lord desires from us all and just calling it worship? A lot of times we say, I worship, and we've got our own definition. Well, how about use the Bible to define your terms? Okay? How you doing according to the Bible terms? True worship is dependent on first having the discipline of the gospel. That's where it starts, being saved. True worship will flow from a life that has the discipline of submission in it. You want to do what the Lord would have you to do. Well, what does the Lord have you to do? Well, He have you to pray, and He have you to worship. Those are two things. Amen. True worship will flow from a life that is practicing that discipline of prayer. You can't help but worship when you're talking to the Lord. Just can't help but do that. And so, you see how these disciplines can be dependent on each other? See how they're intertwined? Amen. We're not done yet. Amen. We're done for tonight, but we're not done yet. But there's some other disciplines that we're going to take a look at. And I trust that you'll take these truths from Scripture and let God use them in your life. Amen. Let's pray.